Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A grand jury has indicted former Trump advisor John Bolton on charges he allegedly unlawfully transmitted and retained classified documents. In a statement this evening, and speaking about the president, Bolton saying, quote, "I look forward to the fight to defend my lawful conduct and to expose his abuse of power." The White House says President Trump spoke on the phone with Russian President Putin today. This is the president gets ready to host Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House tomorrow. In Illinois, a federal judge accusing federal agents of violating a restraining order that she issued last week.
After seeing images of violent clashes in Chicago ending with tear gas used on protesters, a judge says federal agents who have body cameras must wear them during the Trump administration's sweeping immigration crackdown.
ABC's Alex Perez in Chicago. Day 16 of the government shutdown. Republicans and Democrats in the Senate failed for the 10th time to pass a bill to reopen the government. This is ABC News. In Oklahoma, the new state education superintendent appearing to roll back a recent controversial change planned for classrooms. ABC's Jim Ryan.
Last year, then Oklahoma school superintendent Ryan Walters issued his mandate.
Every teacher, every classroom in the state will have a Bible in the classroom.
Walters has now left for the private sector, and Governor Kevin Stitt has named longtime educator Lindell Fields to replace him. Under pressure from the Oklahoma Supreme Court, the Education Department's Tara Thompson says
Superintendent Fields has no plans to distribute Bibles,
but does plan to give local districts a greater say in how they're run. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Health officials have identified the first severe Mpox patient without recent travel history in a patient in Long Beach, California. The unidentified man required hospitalization for a severe strain of the disease and is now recovering in isolation at home. Officials say the risk to the general public remains low, and they're currently working to determine the patient's possible source of exposure. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matinee on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game three tonight with the Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS after losing the first two games in Milwaukee. Do the Brewers have a chance to turn this thing around? Manager Pat Murphy.
You guys might have us counted out, and I understand that. 90% of the teams that have been in this situation don't win the series. This team has been counted out a lot this year, and I think there's some fight left in them, and it'll be a little tougher path doing it on the road, but we swept the Dodgers early in the year on the road, and so at least there's some capability. I know the Dodgers weren't the same team then, but, you know, 10 times this year we've won four in a row, so that's also a possibility.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next Wednesday in Milwaukee. How do they look on defense?
I think we have to have a hell of a week, personally. I think we are average at best right now. I think we've taken a step back a little bit, and we'll get it right.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Diane Keaton's cause of death has been revealed. The actress passed away at the age of 79 on October 11th at her home in Los Angeles. According to Yahoo Entertainment, the actress's family says Keaton died of pneumonia. The Annie Hall star had had two battles with skin cancer in recent years and has also dealt with an eating disorder. Her daughter Dexter and son Duke said they were grateful for the support shown for their mother's passing. There were two great movies out this year that were totally original and unbelievably well executed in Sinners and One Battle After Another. Original movies can be done, but this is Hollywood, and according to Empire Online, there will be a new movie based on the Flintstones in space, also known as the Jetsons. Sigh. I guess the good news is Jim Carrey is being looked at for the part of George Jetson. Plenty of great filmmakers out there, but they're going back to a cartoon from 1962. Well done, Hollywood. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and isolated shower or two tonight, and a low in the upper 50s. Partly sunny tomorrow, a stray storm could pop up, highs in the low 70s. Temperatures start to fall back for this weekend as we dry out. Right now it's 58.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of New Wisco Weekend, Lisa Hale, to talk some color television. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr comes by with great tunes and fun talks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway. They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we got an awesome guest here on, Michaela. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be talking about you and what's going on tonight and what's happening at All My Relations Arts here in Minnesota. I want to just welcome you to the Twin Cities and welcome you to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Right on. So let's talk a little bit about you and where you're from, and then we'll get into a little bit about what's going to be at All My Relations Art here starting tonight with the big grand opening.
Yeah, I'm visiting here from the Northwest where I live now. I've lived there for about 6 years. I'm Hopi. My family lives on Hopi in Bakavi Village, if anyone is from out there. Yeah.
That's awesome. And then, so what kind of art are we talking about? And then also, this is just made. I'm looking at your stuff and it's really, really amazing. Let's talk a little bit. How long have you been doing art? I know you probably have had a heart of an artist all your life. How long have you been doing art?
Yeah, I would say my whole life I've always been a very creative kid, painting on the walls, making art. But it really wasn't until the past about 10 years or so that I started to share my art publicly and do shows and that kind of thing. And I just didn't think people would understand my art or get it. And so I was scared to show it, but I've been really amazed at the reception of people understanding the story I'm trying to tell and the work I'm trying to share. So that's been exciting. Yeah.
Have you been to All My Relations Arts before this?
I have not. This is my first time in Minnesota, my first time in Minneapolis. I've had a wonderful time here, but I met them at Indian Market. I was there 2 years ago, and I got a blue ribbon that year, which was very exciting. And they met me there and invited me to come show my work. This is a touring exhibition that first showed at Native Arts and Cultures Foundation in Portland. And this is the third location that it's been shown at.
Just to remind everyone, too, and I know I run into a lot of relatives. I'll be there tonight, too. Excuse me. It's 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And all our people from all across Turtle Island, just a second here, all across Turtle Island, come to All My Relations gallery, and you're going to be seen by so many people, not only tonight, but just, I know people come for coffee, they come for a lot of things on Franklin Avenue, and so Your exhibition is going to be seen by thousands and thousands of people. So that's super exciting. And if people haven't been there, it's right next to the coffee shop, and it's hooked together, and it's pretty exciting. A lot of people are going to see your art.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I was so excited when they asked me to show at the space, because it is known in the Native arts community. I haven't been able to come out here to visit, but I've definitely known about all my relations and the work that they do and the art that they've shown and watched artists. And even just installing the art, so many people walked in to want to look at it. Dallas Goldtooth was there yesterday, which was exciting to see him take a picture in front of my art.
So
very, very honored and excited to be there and to meet the community and meet new artists and see the reception of this work here.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I don't know if you know this, but we probably have the largest urban Native community here in the United States, and so we're pretty proud of that.
Yes.
There's over 111 different nations that are in Minneapolis, that and around 75,000 Native Americans just in Minneapolis. And I'm in St. Paul right now, so it's like we have Indians here too. Oh, but hey, can you do me a huge favor and talk about, it's going to be an opening reception of the name of your exhibit?
Yeah, so it's called Matrilineal Memory, and it's an ongoing series that I've been doing about the work it takes as someone that comes from a matrilineal society of preserving stories and sharing stories and how we do that, especially when there's disconnection from your matriarchs in your life due to residential schools and poverty and addiction and just the myriad of things that cause disconnection in our culture, and how do we preserve our stories and continue on culture and traditions when those when there are those like breaks in our community. And so this whole series is really about healing connection and healing self, so that we can be good matriarchs and continue to be stewards in our community and tell our stories and have our stories passed down.
Again, the opening is tonight, Thursday night, here at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, and it's opening reception for this this awesome art. Let's talk a little bit about the art, too. And oh, let me just say this, too. It goes on from October 16th to December 13th. And so you have plenty of time to come down, but I always like to go to opening night to meet the artist, and there's a big buzz and the community, and also free food. I'm there for the free food.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, it's always good to go to the opening because there's food and drink, but.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about, I'm looking at the poster here too, and you have mixed arts where there's fabric involved. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this whole series, my Matrilineal Memory series, it is all actually created on the land. So I go out to different landscapes that are important to me, or that have a memory for me, or just that I find peace in, and I paint on the landscape. And then I actually go back to that same landscape or a different one with a generator and a sewing machine, and I physically sew textiles into the painting. So there are these layers of it's like landscape and topography and physically weaving of memory into these paintings. So I'm thinking about memory, I'm thinking about place and our connection to the land. And as Indigenous people, especially women, our connection to culture is often connected through land, like through plant medicine, through being on the land, through being, you know, just connected to the land in those kind of ways. And being disconnected from the land is a lot of, you know, reasons for being disconnected from culture as well. And so I really wanted to create these pieces outside in landscapes. So they're all different landscapes that, you'll see represented in these pieces. But also with every painting, I write poetry as well. So as you're going through the exhibition, you'll look at the painting, you'll read the poetry, you'll reimagine the painting through the poetry. It's a very immersive kind of experience through storytelling and visual art.
Wow, that's... That's awesome. And then will some of your paintings be artwork be for sale?
Yes, it's all for sale. There'll be prices. I have prints also of the work. And then also there's an kind of an installation part of it. There'll be these large silks that I've printed my work onto that you can walk through and touch and feel. So there's kind of like different layers of artwork there for everyone to see.
Wow. Hey, can you hold on for another segment? Because this is really interesting, and it really makes total sense, too, when I see your promo picture of you in a sewing machine out in the wilderness. This is really yes. awesome. Well, hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Michaela Schaefer, and we are talking about the opening reception tonight at All My Relations Art, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ooh-wah.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, celebrates that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. MVAT has empowered Native American communities by bringing friends and families together to talk about important issues and sharing helpful information about how and where to vote. By learning from each other and leaning on trusted relationships, MVAT helps Native communities feel confident in voting and making their choices heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and have a say in the future. MVAD has been helping Native communities across the state for 9 years, creating stronger, more engaged communities every election. Vote together, stand together. Explore a fact sheet that explains some of the elected offices on the ballot and why they matter to you, your family, and your community at MakeVotingATradition.org. That's MakeVotingATradition.org.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm with Michaela Schaefer, and we are talking about the opening tonight here on Thursday. Sometimes our other stations pick us up on different days, too, so I want to make sure they're the opening reception tonight at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis at All My Relations Art. And get there early and be able to converse with Michaela and be able to talk about her art and maybe even purchase some. And I like the idea too that you have prints out there, so it's affordable for everyone too to pick up some of your art. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about you mentioned, and I know your promo picture was you with a sewing machine kind of out in a wooded area, and I did not realize what you go out there and with nature and all the grandfather, sky and mother earth and put together these pieces. How did that process come about?
Yeah, when I started the series Matrilineal Memory, it was really a healing journey for me, and it was a lot of poetry writing and that kind of thing. And I was doing a painting one day, and I'm usually like near a window looking outside on the landscapes, and I just like had this epiphany of, why am I not, I'm writing about the land, I'm feeling the land, why am I not physically on the land? So I just packed up my painting supplies into, I made a little to-go kit, and I went out on the land, and it just, everything kind of clicked for me in this like work that I, the story that I was trying to tell, that I really needed to physically be on the land to feel that connection, to feel that healing. And it kind of snowballed from there. And I physically weave and sew textiles into the paintings as a way to kind of weave my story in, weave my energy in, and also show the shapes, the topography of the land, landscapes in there. And so I was like, why don't I keep going with that? And so I have this tiny little solar generator that's very quiet. And I hauled it out to the land with my sewing machine and set up a little folding table and just sewed out there too. And it was such a spiritual experience being out there and being with nature and having my feet in the soil and having the wind touch me and touch my paintings and kind of shape them also. You know, I'm layering textiles and the wind is blowing and it's moving things and reshaping the paintings. So yeah, these paintings are all done on landscapes in all different places, out on Hopi, where I live in Olympia, different places in Washington, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, but I'm on trips. I just take them everywhere with me because I never know when the inspiration is going to spark.
And would you ever consider doing anything here in the Minnesota, the Twin Cities, or
absolutely? And I'm kind of mad at myself that I didn't bring any. I usually travel with painting supplies, but I was moving out of my art studio and I didn't have, like, I just packed everything away. So I'm kind of mad that I don't have any here, because usually everywhere I go, I paint something somewhere. So I'll have to come back.
Yeah, there you go. I have a quick question too, and maybe you can or can't answer this, but when you were speaking about that, do you do that alone? Is it you by yourself, or do you have assistants or relations with you when you're painting, or is it just differ?
I'm 99% by myself. I actually, for my day job, I work for an indigenous organization in Seattle called Yahout, and we're rematriating 2 acres of land. So we have a lot of land. I'm out on the land a lot. There's a creek that we're rehabilitating. So I spend a lot of time out there in the woods by myself while I'm working. But there are times, like that photo that is shown, my partner, he's also an artist. He comes out with me a lot and does a lot of like the filming and helps me set up. Sometimes the table's heavy or the things are uneven and I need help carrying stuff. Yeah. But for the most part, I just pack my paintings up into a tote bag and I haul it out with me by myself.
Was that a weird question? Because that's what I thought of. It's just like, you know, it's part of meditation, and having people around might kind of throw that off just a little bit, is what I was kind of thinking.
Absolutely. It's definitely a solitary. I don't like to paint around other people because I'm feeling a lot of things and there's emotions, and I just like to reflect and be on my own. And even when he comes out and helps me set up, I'm like, okay, you help set up, you know?
Yeah. Well, my wife's an artist too, and I've never watched her paint anything, but she sent me pictures, and you know, we're two rooms away or two floors away, and she sends me pictures and go, oh wow, she's painting. So it is a personal thing, but it's also a personal thing that you share. So that can be frightening at times too.
Oh yeah. I think the reason I took so long to share this work was because it is so personal, and I was really worried about the reception of it because it's, you know, because of that. But I have found that so many people resonate with the story that I'm trying to tell, and so many people have the same experiences of the disconnection or trying to heal intergenerational wounds, especially this generation. You know, our grandparents were in boarding school. Some of our parents were, there's a lot of like foster care trauma, those kind of things. And we're at a point where we're trying to reconnect and preserve. And so there's a lot of overlap in stories. We all share similar stories. Yeah. So in sharing that, I've like connected with so many people, and people are sharing their personal stories with me, which is really special. And we're kind of healing together and learning together and connecting and building relationships. So, you know, I was like, all of that fear of sharing my story is like gone now. Cause I'm like, oh, I want to, I feel like now I have to get this out. I have to share it because I want other people to share their story too and feel empowered to do that.
Well, wow, that's a really good point. And that's a true statement from an artist. I know, we do, you know, people don't know this, and we have a lot of white allies that listen to my show across the country. And one of the things is 1996 was the last year boarding school was closed. And so when we talk about, you know, this trauma, it's passed on physically, too. I had a guest on yesterday that talked about this, that the trauma is passed down, and we have to break our own be cycle breakers. And whether it's through art, dance, or well, dance is art, but through art or just talking about it is so, so important.
Absolutely. And there's even been studies that have shown that trauma, it takes several generations to heal from trauma. So it has to start with someone. You have to be the one to start it. Because it, you know, my children's children will finally be healed from it. Like it's, there's so much work to be done, and we need to start now for future generations, not just for ourselves.
And what better way to do it than with art and sharing your art? Talk a little bit more again about All My Relations Presents. Can you help me out again?
Matrilineal Memory.
Yes. It must be difficult for you to have a person here interviewing that can't speak properly, but I appreciate you coming on, and I do have a lot of people listening to me. And hopefully it's not just to make fun of me. No, just kidding. But but yeah, so, and it's tonight, the opening reception Thursday. And we're speaking with Michaela Schaefer. And again, 1414 East Franklin Avenue. I know people that listen to the show will be out there and say hi to me. I know I'll be there. And it's always good to see relatives out there that do listen to Native Roots Radio. So we got a couple more minutes left here. What else would you like to talk about when it comes to your art and art in general?
Yeah, I would say with my artwork, it's definitely a sensory experience. So when you come to see it, take time to read the poetry that goes in between each one. There's going to be a silk installation. You can touch it. You can walk through it. So feel free to do that. I also have a video playing that actually shows me creating the art on the different landscapes, so you can see that process in work. That will be played on a loop there as well. But very excited for this opening, very excited to share this work with a new community, and yeah.
Wow, that's exciting, and you know, we're all related, and it's great that you're sharing this with So have you ever like mentored people in the kind of art that you do? Because it's very, very, very unique. And not only your art, but also how you do it.
I haven't yet, but I am coming back here in November to do an artist talk at All My Relations. And I will be doing a little workshop as well on how to do kind of intuitive abstract art in the way that I do. I'll be bringing some materials to try, and you can try it out. So hopefully All My Relations will have some info on that coming up.
Well, we'll definitely have All My Relations on talking about it here on Native Roots Radio and sharing it out. Again, a lot of people, you'll be really really pleased at how many people do walk through that gallery and get inspired by all the great art, including yours, that is at All My Relations Art, which is right next to the powwow grounds, just to remind everyone, the coffee shop. And so grab yourself a cup of coffee and go on in and check it out.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm going to let you go here, and I will meet you in person tonight and shake your hand and go. I can't wait to walk through the project here and the silk and read. And it was. I'm glad you said read the poetry before you really get deep into into the picture, and that's really good advice. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Ask Kali for having me.
All right. Peeny Gee, thanks for being on, and we'll see you tonight, and I can't wait to see your art. Thank you so
much. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A grand jury has indicted former Trump advisor John Bolton on charges he allegedly unlawfully transmitted and retained classified documents. In a statement this evening and speaking about the president, Bolton saying, quote, "I look forward to the fight to defend my lawful conduct and to expose his abuse of power." The White House says President Trump spoke on the phone with Russian President Putin today. This is the president gets ready to host Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House tomorrow. In Illinois, a federal judge accusing federal agents of violating a restraining order that she issued last week.
After seeing images of violent clashes in Chicago ending with tear gas used on protesters, a judge says federal agents who have body cameras must wear them during the Trump administration's sweeping immigration crackdown.
ABC's Alex Perez in Chicago. Day 16 of the government shutdown. Republicans and Democrats in the Senate failed for the 10th time to pass a bill to reopen the government. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game three tonight with the Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS after losing the first two games in Milwaukee. Do the Brewers have a chance to turn this thing around? Manager Pat Murphy.
You guys might have us counted out, and I understand that. 90% of the teams that have been in this situation don't win the series. But this team has been counted out a lot this year, and I think there's some fight left in them, and it'll be a little tougher path doing it on the road, but we swept the Dodgers early in the year on the road, and so at least there's some capability. I know the Dodgers weren't the same team then, but, you know, 10 times this year we've won four in a row, so that's also a possibility.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next Wednesday in Milwaukee. How do they look on defense?
I think we have to have a hell of a week, personally. I think we are average at best right now. I think we've taken a step back a little bit, and we'll get it right.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The TV show Bosch has been off the air for a few years now. The show about an L.A. homicide detective played by Titus Welliver, who is not afraid to bend the rules, was followed by three seasons of Bosch Legacy. Earlier this year, there was another spinoff called Ballard that starred Maggie Q, and rumor has it there is a spinoff in the works for Jamie Hector, who played Bosch's partner on the original show, Jerry Edgar. The Bosch extended family is about to give birth again with a prequel series called Bosch Start of Watch. The show is in development with actor Cameron Monaghan in place as the younger Harry Bosch. Like its predecessors, the show will be set in Los Angeles, but in the year 1991, and focus on Bosch's character as an LAPD rookie. The show is currently in development at MGM+. The Bosch franchise is based on crime novels by Michael Connelly. Fun universe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and isolated shower or two tonight and a low in the upper 50s. Partly sunny tomorrow, a stray storm could pop up, highs in the low 70s. Temperatures start to fall back for this weekend as we dry out. Currently 57 degrees.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Todd
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine, A Week in Review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Wendy Pilot. Good to see you, Wendy. Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah.
Hey, a great interview. We got a lot going on. Michaela Schaefer's having a open house tonight. Again, I just wanted to say this real quick. It's from 6 to 8 at All My Relations Art, and I'll be there with the bells on, and it'll be great to be there. But before that, too, Wendy, what's the name of the exhibit again?
It's called Matrilineal Memory, October 16th to December 13th. It's running, and the location is All My Relations Arts. And it's an artist. She has a solo show.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
This is really exciting.
And it opens tomorrow evening, or I should say tonight. It opens tonight from 6 to 8, so right when you're done here. And I know it's funny. I've run into some Native Roots radio listeners that have come out to there. So
yeah.
I'll see you there. I will be there with bells on. So
yeah.
Also, We have a lot of art going on here, and I want to talk about this, too, a little bit before we fire up and talk a little bit about No Kings. But Danny Whitehawk, she's got an exhibit, at the Walker, and that's opening up, too. And it's a gathering of 15 years of the artist's work. And
what's the dates on that one?
That's October 18th is when it opens to February 15th, and nice. We're going to have her on the show, too. We've already talked about that, but it's just a little too much.
Well, I think Friday we're going to be there.
Yes. So
we're going to be at the Walker on Friday evening. What time are we going to be there?
I don't know. I'll have to double check.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an invite-only gallery kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a little bougie invite, so yeah. I'm down.
Yeah, it's exciting.
You're an artist, so
I really, fun. And I love to look at art, and I can look at art all day. But I just think that it's just so fantastic that the Twin Cities here just has so much Native American presence, and people can bring their art here. They they have the corridor, Franklin Avenue. It's just it's really great community.
Well, and I was just downtown last weekend for the Minnesota Arts downtown with Dr. Kate Bean being the CEO of it. And that art exhibit was amazing. And we had them on last week to talk about it. And we're going to have some of the artists on eventually talking about their art, because that's going to be open for a long time, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, a lot happening. And, you know, it's funny, Wendy, there's so much happening artistically anyways. I feel like we're really blessed here in the Twin Cities. We have a lot of artists, and we see that a lot, too. And I know I just wanted to give you a shout-out, too. You're going to have your art out at Southdale during the Christmas. So you'll be selling prints and cards and of your original work.
And some of my original work will be out there too.
Oh, really?
It's kind of hard for me to sell my original art.
I should buy it, and we still have it, right?
I get very attached to it. You know, your heart and soul goes into it. So, but yeah, we'll have prints of my art and cards, and yeah, that'll be on display, and I'm really excited about it. But it's really embarrassing because I had to set up this Instagram account. Now, I know nothing about Instagram, and I know, like, you know, everybody's on Instagram, probably except for me.
Well, you're on it and you don't even know it.
Oh, so I posted all these pictures of my art on Instagram, Pilot's Palette, and I didn't know that it goes to your Facebook page. So now it's like I have 20 new posts tonight somebody out there must think I'm like on crack or something, going crazy. But
or enjoying your paintings. I love them. I love the series you did a couple of years ago with people's pets, dogs, mostly dogs, and yeah, could capture their eyes. And
yeah, I just recently painted a picture of a neighbor's dog. She lost her dog Scarlet. And I just asked her, I said, just text me your most favorite picture of Scarlet. And I did a watercolor for her, and she just really absolutely loved it. So
you've been just jumping into watercolor lately.
Yeah, I really like it. It's kind of fun. Oh. It's a little bit hard to work with. And
why? Because it's watery?
It's watery. The colors mix together if you're not careful. You have to
Part of the jam, though, I think.
Yeah, and then you have to, you know, in certain things, you have to wait for it to dry before you start painting again. And I don't really have a lot of patience for that.
Yeah.
So sometimes I break out the blow dryer. But then if you blow dry it and the air is too fast, then it moves the paint around. So, you have to kind of be careful with watercolors. I should really just take a class. But I am following this woman on Facebook that she's really good. So she's given me a lot of good hints and techniques and stuff. So
that's a good thing about Facebook.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. I find it very meditating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And clear your mind.
So it's going to be Southdale, and we'll be talking about this more often. And of course, Native Roots Trading Post will be at Dayton's for the Christmas time too.
Mm-hmm.
With our stuff from our swag and wild rice and and things like that, the art. And I think, will you have any of your resin jewelry at Southdale?
Oh, good question. Sure. Yes, okay. I will. I'll have some. I'm making, and I've made very pretty earrings. So I'll have mostly earrings.
Yeah.
Some necklaces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just resin that I was experimenting with, and it came out really nice. So,
yeah. And it's funny, you've sold a lot. You sold a lot at the fair.
I know.
The last couple fairs.
Yeah.
And it's a fun thing. I hope to team with you because we have that laser cutter, and do maybe some maps with some blue water.
Oh, put the resin in there. Water. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. It's always fun to do projects.
When I
like
retire.
That. Yeah. When Robert retires. I don't think he'll be retiring anytime soon. You've been working really hard. I just want to say it on the air for everyone to hear that. I'm very proud of you, and you're working really hard. Yeah. Doing a good job, Robert.
One in a row. Well, you held up the ship for many years while I was playing teacher, and so here we are.
But you're an awesome teacher.
Well, it's two things, too. I want to say something that we're always amazed with. One is that we only have one car, and that's been
It's a year now.
Yeah.
It's a year we've had one car.
That blows my mind. We don't go anywhere, and then if we do...
Well, you work from home. I'm retired, so... and we share a calendar. So if we're both good about putting in the calendar what we need and when we need the car, it's been working out good. Like I'll see if you have something going on, and if I need to make an appointment and I see that you need the car, I'll just make my appointment for a different day or different time. So, you know, it's been working out really well.
And
we just heard on the news tonight.
Oh.
The average cost of a car today is $50,000 for a new car.
God, and just 20 years cars, ago, you could get a house from that.
That's
for that.
Crazy.
30 years ago, you could have got a house for that.
That's insane.
Well, speaking of which, here's the other thing I was going to say, too, is that another thing we freak out about is that you've been retired for 5 years.
I know. It's just crazy. 5 years. It's amazing. And I feel like, you know, I get up and I'm busy the whole day. That I don't even have enough time to get done what I want to get done. And they always said that. It took me like a year to figure it out, though. I was just like kind of floundering around. Well, I retired at a bad time. It was October 5 years ago during COVID.
Well, that's good for me. You've been able to do the radio show and
been
able to rest and go back and do the show from New York too. That's
taking care of grandkids. That's been fun.
Oh my gosh, I'm tired right now. Hey, so the No Kings rally, March in Minneapolis, October 18th at 1 p.m.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Be there.
Join Invisible Twin Cities, 5051 MN, Women's March Minnesota, and the AFL-CIO Minnesota on October 18th for No Kings National Day of Defiance. Mm-hmm. This mass activation in defiance of the Trump-Musk billionaire takeover and the far-right assault on our freedoms and our communities. Bring your signs and meet us for this inspiring, peaceful, and mobilization show of solidarity. So gather at 1 p.m. for a short rally and march through Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And that begins at the Commons at 425 Portland Avenue South in Minneapolis. Invite your friends. That's going to be amazing going down Minneapolis and see the thousands and thousands, because we were at the Capitol the day that Melissa Hortman and her husband were assassinated, and there was 80,000 people at the Capitol.
Yeah, it was crazy. It really was. I hope that the media gets to show all the people who are coming out. You know,
I have to go
on Fox News and the far right, they just say, oh, yeah, there are people being paid to be out there. And,
yeah. It's anti-American, they said, too, the Mike the idiot. It's you're a bad person if you protest. Yeah. So whatever.
Exactly.
So it's supposed to be end up being one of the biggest. And I know it's interesting too. Neighborhoods are having this too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we might try and do both.
Exactly. Like you could go online and find a No Kings protest mm-hmm. in your neighborhood. Like even St. Paul is having so many in different areas, right down where we live over here. So.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have to cough. So
here, I can mute your. Do go ahead. How did that go? I muted your mic.
Sorry about that.
Cool. No, that's cool.
Got a little tickle in my throat.
So what was that sign? Do you remember that one sign? That I really liked, and maybe I'll make one.
Okay, so there was this guy at the last No Kings protest, and he had a sign, and all it said on it was, too many issues for one sign.
Yeah.
Like that's what it said. And I have a picture with him.
I want to make a sign that
says, we can make a sign that says that.
Put some eagle feathers on there.
Exactly. I painted a canvas.
are you going to use that sign again?
I am.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I got to fix it though, because I painted it really quick. And
we can call this last section our art section, and now we'll go into our sacred animal section here on Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, celebrates that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. MVAT has empowered Native American communities by bringing friends and families together to talk about important issues and sharing helpful information about how and where to vote. By learning from each other and leaning on trusted relationships, MVAT helps Native communities feel confident voting and making their choices heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and have a say in the future. MVAD has been helping Native communities across the state for 9 years, creating stronger, more engaged communities every election. Vote together, stand together. Explore a fact sheet that explains some of the elected offices on the ballot and why they matter to you, your family, and your community at MakeVotingATradition.org. That's MakeVotingATradition.org.
I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our United States wolf and bear populations. Oh. Say no to the hunts.
Rawr.
No.
I did a bear. Oh.
Rawr.
There you go.
Not really sure what a bear sounds like.
That was clear. Sounds good. Oh, yeah. Hey, want to introduce my awesome, reintroduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, and she does the sacred animal portion of our show for the last 9 years and is a founder of Native Roots Radio and Pilots Progressive Party.
Thanks, Robert.
I'd like to bring that up.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Robert is, I just want to say he's online right now.
No, I'm listening.
No, you're not listening. He's online right now, but he's looking at a map of the United States, and it has dots everywhere where No Kings protests will be on Saturday, October 18th. And the whole United States is like lit up with these little, you know, dots everywhere. So go find one and be there. That's all I have to say. So I have some bad news. I have a friend on Facebook, Mark, and he posted yesterday. So yesterday, Wednesday, October 15th, 2025, is the third day of the 2025 six-day segment, a New Jersey black bear hunt.
Oh.
Yeah, that runs until
New
Saturday.
Jersey
yep.
Bears?
That runs, Saturday, October 18th. So Monday, October 13th, 55 black bears were killed. Tuesday, October 14th, 79 black bears were killed. So 134 black bears were killed in 2 days. And then he goes on and writes, I have to get the word out so I can get as many people as possible to call Governor Murphy's office. So it's Governor Murphy's office in New Jersey. If you get a chance, just look it up. I have the number right here, 609-292-6000, 609-292-6000, and ask Governor Murphy to stop this black bear hunt. And he just said, I can't sit by and do nothing while these beautiful creatures are getting murdered. Oh. And I agree. And I did try calling that number, and the number says, sorry, the governor's busy right now with another constituent. Please call back. A lot of times they'll let you leave a message, but let you leave a message. Yeah, because normally then I would leave.
It's probably blowing up.
Message.
Then.
It's probably blowing up for sure. I know that we've done that a lot. So then, in the next minute, I'm looking around, and what do I find? I find a post from Humane World for Animals by Kitty Block. Let me see here. Kitty Block, and she's the chief executive officer and president of Humane World for Animals, as well as chief executive officer for Humane World Action Fund. And this is her blog, Kitty Humane World blog. So you could just go on. You don't have to pay any money. You could follow Humane World, Kitty Block, and she writes these blogs. So I'm just going to read part of it. So she says, this is a wake-up call. Over 1 million American black bears have been killed by trophy hunters in the last 25 years. So this is dated October 14th, 2025, and the author is Kitty Block. And she said, right now, across the United States and Canada, black bears are preparing for hibernation by consuming 20,000 calories each day. This feeding frenzy is essential for their survival during the winter months, especially for mother bears planning to hibernate with cubs who need added fat to survive the cold and to grow. Dedicated and family-oriented black bear mothers will spend up to 2 years patiently raising, provisioning, and forming close social attachments with their cubs. Black bears are also remarkably intelligent and emotionally complex, capable of feeling pain, fear, and distress. And we talk about this all the time. Like if you have, like Jane Goodall said, if you ever spend time and have an animal in your house, a cat, a dog, or whatever, you know that animals are capable of feeling pain, fear, and distress. She goes on to say, anyone who understands these facts will be appalled to learn that is often in the fall as bears are preparing for their particularly vulnerable winter months when many U.S. states allow them to be subjected to trophy hunting, baiting, and hounding. An eye-opening new report by Humane World for Animals lifts the curtain on the practice of bear trophy hunting, which killed more than 1 million bears in the United States between the year 2000 and 2024. Jeez. Yes, these numbers do not account for an unknown number of dependent cubs who have died because trophy hunters killed their mothers. Okay? Yeah. Proponents of bear hunting often try to justify it by claiming that bear populations and instances of human-bear conflict would be out of control if it were not for these lethal wild management programs. Bologna. Yeah, they make these nice words, management. Okay, but decades of research and experience have shown that the primary drivers of these encounters are unsecured human food sources, especially garbage, bird feeders, pet food, and compost piles. In semi-rural and ex-urban areas, poorly protected chicken coops and beehives also serve as enticing attractants, right?
And picnic baskets, too.
And picnic baskets, exactly. When bears access these easy food sources, they quickly learn to associate human settlements with meals, increasing the likelihood of repeated visits and escalating interactions. The indiscriminate trophy hunting of bears does not address the root cause of human-bear conflicts. In fact, hunting may remove non-problematic individuals while leaving food-conditioned bears behind, further undermining public safety and conservation goals. So the bears that they're in the woods, right, they're killing these bears. Those bears may be bears that don't like humans and stay in the forest while other bears come in. And B, that's what that was saying.
Yeah.
You know, bear hunting goes against the grain with respect to other hunting trends. While the number of hunters has declined in the U.S. over the past two decades, in contrast, bear hunting is on the increase. In 2000, 34,000 bears were hunted, compared with 51,000 bears hunted in 2023, which was the deadliest years for bears during the period. What I want to go on and say is that, you know, these trophy hunters just go out indiscriminately. These are men and women who just love guns and they just love just killing animals, no matter what it is. If it's a wolf hunt, if it's a bear hunt, if it's a, you know, they're having a trophy hunt, wild coyotes, whatever. It's just really terrible. If you get a minute, please call the governor in New Jersey or whatever state you're in. Make sure your governor is aware of this and let them know that you are against bear and wolf hunts in your area.
One.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we'll ask our Week in Review panel all about the protests planned for Saturday against things like trying to have your political opponents arrested, troops in the streets, rampant inflation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Government shutdowns, and more.
At Amory Chevrolet, people come first. Built on trust and hometown values, they offer reliable service and peace of mind with a lifetime warranty on every new Chevrolet, plus select pre-owned and certified vehicles. With the best selection in stock and complete service and parts department, their factory-trained ASE-certified technicians are proven to keep your vehicle running strong. Conveniently located off of Highway 46 on Cornwall Avenue in Amory, Wisconsin. Amory Chevrolet, where they treat people like people every day.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. John Bolton, President Trump's national security advisor in his first term, has been indicted on 18 federal charges, including unlawful transmission and retention of national defense information. ABC's Pierre Thomas.
The president has been railing against Bolton for years, ever since he published a tell-all book about his time in the administration, The Room Where It Happened.
He took classified information and he published it.
In a statement this evening, Bolton saying, quote, "For four decades, I've devoted my life to America's foreign policy and national security. I would never compromise those goals." A U.S. official telling ABC News that the military conducted another airstrike today targeting a suspected drug vessel in the Caribbean. And ABC News has learned that three nuclear-capable B-52 heavy bombers flew for hours less than 90 miles from Venezuela. His family says KISS founding member and lead guitarist Ace Frehley died peacefully at home today, surrounded by family after a recent fall at home. He was 74. This is ABC News.
You're listening.